Welcome to the Talking Transformation podcast. I'm your podcast host, Peter Ahmad, recording from Cape Town, South Africa, since June 2019. The Talking Transformation podcast provides an open and accessible platform for built environment professionals and interest groups to share their reflections and aspirations relating to the transformation of places and spaces in South Africa. It's intended to be a celebration of the individuals and community groups who are supporting formal and informal processes that are addressing the challenges of South Africa's history and shaping the future of our neighbourhoods and cities. For our first recording of the year, the Talking Transformation podcast is blending innovation, international and entrepreneurial flavours with our guest, Malena Liech, co-founder of the Dewey Hack Your Shack NGO. Dewey is a fledgling non-profit organisation from Germany that operates between Berlin in Germany and South Africa. And I first met Malena whilst she was working with the Ranyaka NGO team operating out of Stellenbosch last year. As you'll hear, collaboration and partnership with other NGOs and agencies with similar values and perspectives is an essential part of their operations and key to the growth of Dewey. I was really struck by the simplicity and effectiveness of a series of hacks and devices that they're promoting via their Dewey platform, whether it's manufacturing soap, building a washing machine, or DIY fire extinguishers. The products are designed to provide effective solutions for minimal cash outlays. They also provide numerous guides to assist in the growing of vegetables and cooking tips to keep families healthy and nutrition rich. In addition to the health and safety benefits offered, Dewey also seeks to provide young entrepreneurs with the chance to transform their own economic circumstances by manufacturing these items and on-selling within their own communities. During the first days of an extended visit to South Africa, I took the time to understand the approach and ambitions of Dewey with Malena. Her passion and enthusiasm for the platform, the products, and the community she's working with really makes for a great way to kickstart the first month of the year. And I hope you'll enjoy the episode as much as I did recording it and spending time with her. So it's just gone 1:30 on Wednesday, the 24th of January. We're into 2024 already, and I'm absolutely delighted to be joined on the Talking Transformation podcast today by Malena Liech. Did I get the pronunciation right, or have I absolutely butchered the pronunciation there, Malena?
No, you're doing a good job. So it's Malena Liech, but you're getting much better.
I promise you, as we go, we'll get there. I really appreciate it. It's lovely to have you here today. Welcome to South Africa. You're here with family visiting from Germany. Tell us a bit about what's brought you this side.
So thanks for having me. I'm absolutely excited to be on your podcast today. I'm here for 4 months this year, and I'm the founder of the nonprofit organization Hack Your Shack. And we're developing Dewey, which is a DIY platform that we're building with and for people in underserved communities. And that's why I'm here, developing this platform and also running lots of workshops in South Africa.
It's fantastic to host you here. We met for the first time, I think it was towards the middle of last year, when the work that you were doing with Ranyaka, based out of Stellenbosch, the partnership that was developing there, particularly around things like fire extinguishers and DIY washing machines. These were amazing things I kept hearing about, and then started to see them being demonstrated, trying to look at different methods and means and tools within typically informal settlements and that type of environment to try and enhance the living experience and the amenity afforded to residents in that space. Is that a fair summary of what you've been trying to do?
Yeah, it's the Dewey platform is basically a website, an app with all kinds of simple instructions for things like a DIY fire extinguisher, bucket washing machine, what you just named, how to grow your own vegetables in a small space, especially for people in informal settlements, but also in other environments. Actually, many of those hacks that are on the platform already are also quite nice for other settings as well.
What inspired you from Berlin, Germany, where your home is and your home base is, to say, no, we want to look at, for example, the Global South or South Africa as a place to engage in? And what was the creative spark that said, I want to get involved, I'm going to develop? I mean, it's quite a big jump from saying I've got an interest to establishing essentially an NGO to work with communities from a different continent.
Yeah, so I fell in love with South Africa in 2018 when I came here as a tourist together with my husband and my daughter, Charlotte. And I was here as a tourist, discovered the country, fell in love, and realized that there are lots of things that I don't understand here. And I wanted to come back. And that's what we did a few months later as a family, coming back for 3 months to South Africa. And then I had a sabbatical back from my job at the university in Berlin, meeting lots of super inspiring people, change makers here in South Africa. And that was actually the spark that I saw, okay, so many fantastic projects, people here who really want to make a change, but also so many great solutions that don't have a reach, that are lacking a platform. And so a few months later, when we were back home, we had this inspiration to found the nonprofit organization and to engage in this work that we're doing now.
How did you go about hooking into communities here in South Africa?
So that started in 2019 when we were here for the 3 months, and I was a lot in different communities, as I said, meeting lots of change makers during that time and connected with lots of people, and they were the anchor for what we're doing today.
One of the things that really inspired me, and we've talked a lot about over the last few months, has been things like the DIY fire extinguisher. I mean, that to me, it's potentially a lifesaver. It's an opportunity for households who could not necessarily afford an expensive industrial fire extinguisher to be able to use something that's more of a DIY with a plastic bottle and so forth. Tell us a bit about that. Is that one of the lead projects and hacks that you've introduced?
That's at least one of the hacks with, I think, the biggest impact, because shack fires are such a huge challenge in South Africa, but of course also in other countries with lots of informal settlements. And the fire extinguisher was invented by two UCT students 8 or 9 years ago. And it's made of a 2-liter plastic bottle, vinegar, bicarbonate of soda, and dishwashing liquid. So very simple, something that most people have at home, very cheap. You can actually do it for less than 50 cents, which would be 10 rand or 12 rand. And this is definitely one of the high impact hacks, I would say.
One of the challenges has been trying to persuade municipalities to introduce and partner on this in the face of prevailing legislation and or South African Bureau of Standards and so forth. Any thoughts about sort of this journey and where you're at on that in terms of trying to approach municipalities to say, here's a product that we believe can save lives, have a very profound impact, but you're being met with sort of a red tape? Your thoughts and reflections on where you're at with that and where you would like to see it get to?
It's a very simple hack that everyone could have at home. It's quite effective. And I definitely understand concerns from the official side. Like, let's say, okay, can we recommend that? Maybe someone sues us if it doesn't work. But it, in the end, it's a DIY product and it's much better than having nothing, because people can't afford an industrial fire extinguisher and most of them will never buy one in their lives. So I think it's also about being a bit pragmatic. So I would be very grateful to get some guidance there to how to make it happen, that we can introduce something like that on a broader scale. But besides the fire extinguisher, I think it's the awareness that is most relevant to get out there, because many people are not aware what causes fire, how quick shacks burn down, for example. And it's very much about the awareness. And the fire extinguisher is not a wonder weapon or so, but it also drives the interest towards that topic, because it's a lot of, like, having a fire extinguisher workshop is lots of fun. I mean, the topic is really serious and a lot of people are traumatized by this as well. But it's also like the workshop itself is quite a lot of fun introducing this. So trying it out, how it works, it's lots of fun. And you can also use it as an instrument to get fire awareness out there. And I think it would be great if also like municipalities would take this. And I don't think we can register it as a normal product, because it's not a commercial product. It's a DIY product. And so I think there is no way to get proper registration for it. But yeah.
It's a means to an end. It's an interim measure for those who can't afford it to take a very simple and practical solution of materials which are completely available on the high street and or available even through recycling means and can provide a backstop to trauma and tragedy. Not a week goes by without us seeing a terrible incident of shack fires and so forth. So more strength to you and the Hack Your Shack team in getting to a situation where you can find a happy middle ground. But tell us about some of the other hacks in relation to the products and the designs that you've put out there that can help those communities.
Okay, maybe first of all, it's not us who develop the hack. So on the one hand side, we are developing the technical solution. So it's a very bandwidth and battery friendly software that we developed so that everyone also with very little data can use it. And on the other hand side, that we're building a network of universities, NGOs, grassroots, people in the communities themselves who can share their instructions open source. So we also developed a few hacks, but like there's, for example, a bucket washing machine that's quite effective, or the solar lamps, also ones without any solar panels that are powered by the sun during daylight. You know, often informal settlements are very dense, and even during day, you don't really have light inside. And gardening instructions, how to grow vegetables in a very small space, things like that. That's what you can find on dewey.org.
Where are you wanting this to go in the longer term, Malena? If I was to push you forward 5 years, what could it look like? What would make you happy in terms of outcomes and the impact that you're making in these communities?
So we launched the platform last year, so we're still super young, and South Africa is our pilot country. What I really dream would like Dewey to be is that we can reach many, many people out there, not in South Africa, and that's obviously where my heart is, but also in many other countries, and also create and initiate more exchange, South exchange, but also South-North exchange about those solutions. Like, I think it would be amazing if people from Kenya can learn from people in South Africa, from people in India, from people in Colombia, and from people in Germany. So to push that forward and grow the number of instructions, of course, but also the number of users who we can impact with this platform.
How important, and that journey and vision that you have, are alliances and agencies, if you like, of people that you're working with? How do you foresee that as part of your sort of collaboration and building that?
Dewey is all about collaboration. We're a very small organization, but we want to, or that's what we actually already do, building partnerships with lots of organizations, as I said, let's say NGOs, and also NGOs who are interested to take on Dewey content, for example, to run their own workshops in their communities, but also provide their knowledge that other NGOs can use it for their workshops, as well as to bit by bit spread the word, and that it's a good resource for communities worldwide.
Funding is typically a big challenge for any NGO in terms of getting going and keeping it sustainable. Maybe just a bit of background for those listening to, you know, how did you go about your initial funding, and how does that model start to change over time? If people are listening and said, I'd be interested to get involved, how can people do so?
We are very grateful that we got funding by the German government in the first 2 years of our journey. But now, at the moment, we don't have like a bigger funder, so we have small contributions, but a lot of the work is funded privately at the moment, which is quite a big challenge, to
sure,
be honest.
Sure.
So we are very grateful for anybody who wants to make a contribution and help us grow, help our mission to grow. So there are many ways to get involved.
So if people are interested to collaborate with you, there's the opportunity for them to do so?
Yes, definitely. So please get in touch. And there are multiple ways to collaborate, to, let's say, share your work on DUI, but also to run workshops together. So let's just find out and get in touch.
Any particular themes or aspects that you're looking for collaborations with for sort of in this coming few months?
No, I think actually everything around improving homes and communities fits perfectly into what we are doing with DUI. We also want to focus more on entrepreneurship. So on DUI, you can find instructions, of course, like let's take the instruction of the bucket washing machine. You can use it to improve your own situation at home, but you can also build a business from it. And we want to further work on this too. So to give people ideas how they can found a business from this.
Just to clarify, the idea is that it's one thing to be able to impart and show and tell how to construct, whether it's the DIY washing machine. What you're trying to say is if you can start to build these things, manufacture them and actually start to sell them in the marketplace, that's another opportunity for the community.
Yeah, sure. Like, or making soap, for example. There's a recipe on how to make soap. You can, of course, use it as well to sell it in your community. And so there are many other options. And I mean, there are 60 plus hacks on the platform. And I think there are hundreds more to go, thousands more to go. So, yeah.
You're here for 3 months, I think, with the family, and then you've got another month that you're solo. What does that 4 months entail for you? Who are you meeting with? What are you planning? And when you go home to what will be the German summer, so you'll be leaving us for the winter and you'll be heading across to Europe and that summer, what is it you would like to have achieved in that time period that you're here now?
Definitely building up the network further. So I'm meeting a lot of people that I know already and a great organization we work with. You mentioned Ranyaka earlier, but also other wonderful organizations, and further build that network, and also running quite a lot of workshops on the ground. And for example, next month we will run a 3-week workshop where we will innovate small scale growing systems for vegetables that are suitable for shack environments. And we will innovate that together, or I will facilitate it. The innovators are like community members from Kailice, from Guguletu, gardening experts, students from Germany, actually, who are also participating in that process. That's one of the projects I'm working on at the moment, also working on fire awareness, but also on school visits, and so lots to do. And for me, it's very important to be in touch and know what is important on the ground, to feel what the need is, and so that we can also develop the platform in that direction, because I mean, it's all about that, hey? And very much working then with communities to see how we can adapt also the website and the app to become bit by bit more user-friendly. I mean, we developed it that way, but it's an MVP, I would call it. But bit by bit, we're going to add more features to it.
How has it been, Marlena, when you've gone into these communities for the first time? You mentioned Kailice, Guguletu, and so forth. It's one thing going there as a tourist. It's another thing when you're going to engage and you're coming from a different country, different accent, different everything. How have people received you, and what have been some of your main take home from these engagements that you've had with the communities in those spaces?
The first time that I visited a township was in 2018, and I was invited by someone we met in a shop. And like my family and I met in a shop, and that was a lovely encounter, and she invited us and we brought a picnic and she showed us around and introduced us to her whole family. And this was such a really wonderful connection, and it was such a good way to be introduced to a township. Later on, I don't know, I met, for example, lots of exciting people, inspiring people at the Open Design Africa Festival in 2019. that was for me very much an eye-opener, and to see so many change makers. And we're still in touch with Sune Stassen, for example, from Open Design Africa, but a lot of other change makers that I met there, and then just got in touch with people in different communities and asked them, hey, I'm keen to visit, would you be interested to? And then I just went there, and I don't know, I never had a bad experience so far.
It's very clear you're making an impact, and you're making a really valuable contribution, and more strength to that. And all the best for the time that you're here with us. Please don't be a stranger. It'd be great to chat to you at the end of the 4 months, find out how it's gone and what you've been able to achieve, and if there's any progress you'd like to reflect on. But in the meantime, Malena, thank you so much for your time today. Thanks for coming across this side. It's lovely to spend some time with you. All the best for 2024 to you and the team there.
Thanks so much. It was really lovely being here. And yeah, sure, let's reflect on it. And yeah, I really feel like home here already.
That's wonderful. I neglected. Where can people, you did mention the website. If you can just maybe repeat that so people, and if, for example, if you're available on Instagram, LinkedIn, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, you can find us on all the popular channels. So the website is dooi.org, dooi.org. And on Instagram and Facebook, it's Dooi App. And yeah, find us there.
Fantastic. Go check it out, and all the best to you. Keep safe. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks so much.
We hope you enjoyed this content of the Talking Transformation podcast. Please feel free to give us feedback via our Twitter platform. That's at Talking Transfo and the number one, or alternatively via our email address, talkingtransformation101@gmail.com. Thanks and recognition also to Tribal Need for allowing us to use their track, Flags, as our introductory and closeout music on this podcast.